Today's scripture is taken from John 9, 1 through 12. And it reads, "As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor the parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam.' Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who seen him before as a beggar began to ask, 'Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?' Some were saying, 'It is he.' Others were saying, 'No, but it's someone like him.' He kept saying, 'I am the man.' But they kept asking him, 'Then how are your eyes open?' He answered, 'The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, "Go to Siloam and wash." Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So you know there's that phrase to walk a mile in a person's shoes? It means you're supposed to kind of experience their life and go what they go through to understand who they truly are. And this morning I'm going to take us on a journey where we walk a mile in two persons' shoes. The first is a person named John Newton, who was born in the 1700s, and the other is the person from this morning's scripture passage, the blind man who encountered Jesus. Let us pray. Loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that you hear the meditations of our hearts, that you truly know how we reflect your glory, Lord. May this all be acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, sustainer. Amen. So I have three big questions for you to really, truly think about. First is, have you ever doubted God? Be honest with yourself, have you ever doubted God? The second, have you put wealth and comfort first in your life at times? Have you put wealth and comfort first? And the second, have you ever done something that was wrong and you knew it was wrong, but you still did it anyway? These three questions, have you ever doubted God? Have you put wealth and comfort first? Or have you done things that you knew were wrong but did it anyway? Can all be applied to the first person whose shoes we are going to walk in this morning. In the 1700s, there was a man named John Newton. John Newton was an atheist, he was a slave trader, and he only cared about himself and money. Now, when he was born in 1725, he wasn't an atheist, he wasn't a slave trader, and he didn't care just about money and wealth. He was a simple person. His father ran ships, and his mother stayed at home and was a devout Puritan woman. So this person, John Newton, actually grew up in a religious household. But when his mother died when he was a young child, he then began to spend more time with his father on the ships. So by age 11, he gave up his faith completely and spent all his time working on the ships with his father. As he grew older, he discovered that he didn't like working on the merchant ships and instead joined a slave trade ship. And the slave trade ship was hard. He was a servant to the owner of the slave trade ship and did a lot of hard work, but he kept doing it because he liked the money that he received from this job. Later on in life, he had enough money and a friend of his father's helped him that he had his own slave trade ship. He put wealth and money first. He didn't believe in God in his life, and he knew he was doing wrong things. On this ship, he starved the slaves so he wouldn't have to give them as much food. He didn't give them medical aid. He crammed them all into the bottom of the ship, and he wanted just to make a profit for them when he traveled from Africa to the U.S. to sell the slaves on his slave trade ship. He did all these things that he knew was wrong, and he saw how inhumane he was treating the slaves, but yet he continued to do this. He was an atheist, he was a slave trader, and he only cared about himself and money. Then something happened to John Newton on a voyage when he was returning to London. While he was on this voyage, there was a violent storm, and he thought he was going to die. And he was the captain of this ship, so he had to stay at the top, steering the boat as best he could, but fearing he was going to die, he finally said out loud, "Lord, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us." These simple words were what he shouted, a man who for many years did not believe in God or practice faith, a man for many years who put wealth and comfort first in his life. He shouted at that time when he thought he was going to die in the storm, "Lord, have mercy upon us." Later that night, as he and his crew survived the storm, John Newton said this was a turning point for him in his life, where he changed from knowing his will to God's will. And if you remember, I talked about last Sunday how important it is for us to know God's will in our lives. This man, John Newton, then went on to stop being a slave ship trader. He became more religious. He even met John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. This man, he actually became an Anglican minister. John Newton went from an atheist slave trader to an Anglican minister. And he began working with a man, a poet named William Cowper. They began to write songs, and one of the songs they wrote, that he wrote, John Newton, was Amazing Grace. A song we all know today, the words of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. It's amazing to see how John Newton's faith was transformed by his encounter with the Lord on that stormy night, where he was changed, where he was delivered from evil and sin, and how he knew that the amazing grace of the Lord would save him. Now we think back to this morning's passage from John 9:7, for this blind man who might have been begging for money, as many blind persons did at that time. And Jesus encounters this blind man, and his disciples say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" From the Jewish tradition then, many believed that if a child was born with a disability, it was because they had sinned even in the womb, or that their parents had sinned in their lives before the child was born. Persons then born with disabilities were looked down upon. They were thought that they came from sinful families or sinful lives, and people didn't pay much attention to them. But Jesus changed that. He was different. He paid attention to the people we would call outside the margins, to that blind man he encountered that morning. Jesus answers to his disciples, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Now think about that. Born so that God's works might be revealed in you. What a powerful and special message that Jesus is telling disciples. How this blind man who they looked down upon was someone that they shouldn't look down upon, but someone they should see instead, was born so that God's works could work through him. The second verse of Amazing Grace says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." You wonder, the blind man walking in his shoes, what a fearful life he might have had. Can you imagine losing your sight completely at any age and not being able to see again? Would you live a life in fear? But the blind man, something special must have been in him. He must have had a heart full of grace and had no fear. So that this morning's verse 2 from Amazing Grace that says, "Grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved." We must know that grace, God's love for us, relieves our fears. We think about why we seek wealth and comfort, and a lot of times it does come down to fear. You want to seek wealth because you want to build money and have a home because you fear being homeless. You want to seek comfort with easy things, maybe the easy meal or things, because you don't want to be starving. A couple of years ago, our annual conference youth gathered, and annual conference happens every year in June. The ministers and laypersons from the church go, and they have a special day Saturday where the youth actually from different churches all over Southern California and Hawaii gather for fellowship time. And one year the youth thought, let's do something different. Let's do something amazing. They wanted to experience what they would call a shanty town experience. For 18 hours from 6 p.m. on Saturday night to 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, the youth were encouraged to live like homeless people, to build a shanty town of their own. And it started great at first. The youth were gung-ho. They were told to collect boxes during the week. They were told to ask for food donations. They did all that. They arrived at annual conference with large refrigerator-sized cardboard boxes. They had canned foods that had been donated. And they started this at 6 p.m. experience of living like a homeless person out pretty well. Now, Yancey, you might not agree with what they did next. The youth then got hungry at 8 o'clock, so someone ordered pizza. Domino's pizza was delivered to them. The youth then played games with their iPads and cell phones with each other at 10 o'clock at night. You could kind of see the glow of the iPads from their cardboard shantytown boxes. And they had pillows, and they had sleeping bags with layers. Someone had an air mattress. The youth did not truly, right, experience that shantytown experience. They were afraid of truly being homeless. They were afraid of being hungry. They were afraid of not getting a good night's sleep. Their fear caused them to seek wealth and comfort first. They didn't have that true experience of what it meant to be homeless. So then when Jesus is talking to his disciples and trying to teach them this lesson, he is telling them to not be afraid, to put themselves in the place of this blind man who he is going to heal. He even says in verse 4, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." He is warning them of how important it is to do the Lord's work, because there will be a time where night will come, where sin and evil can take over the world, but it is so important then to do the Lord's work as you are able. Jesus even showed this by then spitting on the ground and making mud from the saliva and putting it over the blind man's eyes. And he said to the blind man, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then the blind man went and washed away, and he came back and he was able to see. But here is the interesting thing about this morning's passage. Never did the blind man see Jesus. He encounters Jesus begging probably for money, and he hears the words of Jesus and what the disciples say and Jesus' answer, but he is still blind. And then when Jesus covers his eyes with mud, mud covers his eyes, so he is still not able to see. And then finally when he goes and washes the water off and returns and is able to see, but Jesus is no longer there. And this morning's encounter, it's important to note that the blind man never saw, truly, physically saw Jesus. Do we do things that we know are wrong, but still do them? Verse 3 of Amazing Grace says, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home." We will face in our lives many dangers and toils and snares and hardships, just as the blind man probably did, just as John Newton did in the 1700s in England. But we must not do things that are wrong then, but we must live through these dangers and toils and snares with the faith of Christians, of disciples, belief in God. Just like the blind man, we ourselves have never seen Jesus. Have you physically seen Jesus? I know that on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Highland, there is that what we call the modern-day Jesus. He always walks around with signs, and I think I shared once I saw him in a car at a gas station and thought it was a funny scene to see Jesus driving around in a car. But we have not, truly not, seen Jesus, but we know Jesus. We ourselves were blind, but knew and heard Jesus in our lives and were transformed by Jesus, just as the blind man was transformed as well. We must remember to believe in the unseen, just as children have that belief. Children, you know, probably believe in the Christmas Santa Claus, and my favorite is the Tooth Fairy. They did a recent research of parents all across the U.S. and what the Tooth Fairy gives to the children. And I'm not quite sure who they surveyed, but it says that the average in the U.S. is $3.25 for a tooth. Now, when I was a child, I think I was happy when I got a quarter, or maybe even a dollar if I had two teeth. But the average now is $3.25, and it's even said that in the state of New York, some parents give as much as $30, $40, or $50 for that lost tooth. What a very generous tooth fairy lives in those states. But children believe in the unseen. They have not seen the tooth fairy, but yet they, I don't know if any of the children here have loose teeth. When you lose a tooth, you put it on your pillow and the tooth fairy arrives during the night when you are asleep, and the next morning you have money or a treat under your pillow. It's this wonderful childlike belief that we must maybe remember as well. To not doubt, to not put comfort and wealth first, to not do things that are wrong that we know are wrong, but fully to trust the Lord instead. So then when people saw the blind man could see and they questioned him and said, "Are you truly the blind man?" He said, "I am he." And who healed him? He said, "Jesus healed me. He told me to go and wash, and I went and received my sight." And they asked him, "Then where is he?" Because remember, the blind man did not see Jesus. They said to the blind man, "Where is he?" And the blind man answers, "I do not know." It is interesting to see how he ends this passage by saying, "I do not know." But I believe the blind man did know, because he was transformed by Jesus. Just as we heard Yancey's wonderful testimony about her summer, and I believe she was transformed. She encountered homeless people. She encountered drug addiction. She encountered prostitutes. She did amazing work in the Pico Shalom area. The Pico Shalom area itself has been transformed over the years. After the Rodney King riots, it faced a lot of hardships. People rioted in that area, Pico Street and Union Street. So Pico Union Shalom is why it's called now, a peaceful area where they're trying to rebuild the city. So it's amazing of the work that Yancey and her fellow college students did. But we must know that we must never doubt the Lord. We must not seek comfort and wealth first, and we must not do things that are wrong. To walk in the shoes of John Newton, who was transformed by his faith on that stormy night, or to be like the blind man who not physically seen Jesus, but yet be transformed by Jesus. To put our full trust in the Lord and know what it means to say amazing grace, to be saved by God's grace. Let us pray. Loving God, you hear our thoughts this morning and know that we love you so much with our full hearts. We ask that we are able to experience what others have experienced, to be able to be transformed like John Newton, transformed like the blind man, to have our full trust and faith in you, Lord. For your Son, Jesus Christ, was a man who walked on earth, who healed people, who taught people, and led the way. And today we continue to follow in the footsteps that he began as your faithful and loving disciples. Amen.